Frozen Shows is filmed in front of a live Twitch audience. Hey everyone, welcome back to Bros and Shows. I am your host, Josiah, aka Mahler67. And with me, as always, I got my buddy, I got my pal, I got the jolly good man himself, Austin.
Whoa, jolly. Jolly, I don't know about that one, but yeah.
He's the jolly good man himself.
Yeah. Whoa.
As they say.
Yeah.
Austin.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about everyone in the Twitch world and you? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I don't know. It was a weird day today.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to adjust this desktop audio so that way it doesn't sound so overbearing, but I'm bad at my job. It was a weird day. This week's gonna be weird because it's gonna be a relatively slow day every day because it is the cusp of the day after Christmas or so and so. If you are watching us live, yes, we record this after Christmas. It's gonna be slow because it's the New Year's. Like, it's going to be the New Year's by the end of the week, and that's crazy that Christmas game goes and it's already New Year's instantaneous. Yep. And there's not much to do at my job, and so I've been sitting and relaxing, max and all, watching movies and TV shows
at work all day. Yeah.
How was your Christmas, Austin?
It was good. We of course did not get to do Christmas with us.
No.
Because the storm, we had like a huge winter storm and it got like negative below and stuff, and the roads became just utter crap. So we just decided not to do it, and we're gonna do it this weekend actually. Which is a doubleheader because Mama Burkhart's having her birthday on Saturday and we're also gonna do Christmas. Mm-hmm. So you'll be back for her birthday too. We've kind of just, we had a good Christmas, me and my wife did, and we had our family's Christmas, and I got one of the things I've always wanted, is a Dutch oven. I've always wanted a Dutch oven.
Just fart in the covers?
That's,
I'm being honest here, I thought that's what
that is a lingo. That is a lingo, and how you probably remember that lingo is because of a movie called I think it was called Epic Movie. I think Epic Movie talked about that. We went and saw it. Yeah. No, it's a cast iron like deep dish, and it's got a lid. And it's enamel. I wanted the enamel one because if you just have a cast iron one, you can't really wash it so well because it will rust, unless you know how to season things and stuff like that. And it's just a lot of work. I have one and it's only for camping. But I got the enamel one. So I'm super happy because I like making gumbo. And that is one of the number one things you can make in a Dutch oven, and bread and a whole bunch of other stuff. So I was pretty excited for it when I opened it up. It's like, yeah, it's Dutch oven. Way to go.
Yeah, we're dead.
Super heavy, but yeah, because when I picked up the box, I knew what it was because that's one of the things I asked was a Dutch oven. I know my father-in-law loves that I cook. So he's like, yeah, here's a Dutch oven. And I was like, yeah, way to go. So yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, that's not what I expected to hear when you said that you got that. But hey, Dutch oven. Happy for you, man. Happy for you. More power to you, dude. Keep up with the Dutch oven power.
Yeah.
Gosh, that felt so weird to say. no, really. Glad for you. Mm-hmm. The only thing I got for Christmas, Austin, was I chose, because I've just been enjoying a lot of the, I would watch a lot of stuff on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Of do you remember a YouTube channel called College Humor?
Yeah.
A lot of people remember that. I was showing you last time I was there videos of their game show, Actually, and
Actually,
yeah. Game Changer.
Yeah.
So I was watching one. They're like, subscribe to Dropout to watch the new stuff, and all. I was like, what's Dropout? I have no context for it. That's my bad. So it's like $5.99 for a subscription. So I'm like, yeah, I'll shell out. And they have a phone app as well for it. And so I was like, perfect. I can watch it whenever I'm at work, which was the key thing I wanted to make sure that was. Mm-hmm. So for Christmas, I bought myself a subscription for a Dropout. And I have just been binging Game Changer and all the other shows on there. And I'm pretty happy with my purchase. They're all funny there, and they're all very like, it's a nice community there. So. And that was one of the shows I was thinking about. Like, I'm like, man, if only we could do these shows on the podcast. But I don't think they transcribe very well for the podcast, because we tend to watch stuff with more like stories and talk about the show itself. And these are much more like game shows, and I don't know how you would do game shows on this, even though I would love to talk about them.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
They also, I didn't know they had like certain characters in some of the hidden behind the scene ones. They had a couple famous actors and everything come on for the show. One blew my mind, and I think whenever I come back, I'll have to show you that episode.
Okay.
But they had like Tony Hawk appear in one episode. They had what the dude name, the dude from Police Academy that does all the sounds. I forget his name.
Oh, I forget his name too.
Michael Winslow, I think it.
Michael Winslow. I think that's the act. I think that's the name of the character from Family Matters.
Whoops! I thought that's what he was called. Like that, his name was.
I think his last name is like Winston or something like
Winston,
that.
Maybe I'm looking that up is. Right yeah, yeah. now. Just do it. But yeah, no, it was great. And then the thing that made me really happy was whenever they had Zach Reno and Jess McCann, two comedy improv people I love from their.
It is Michael Winslow.
Michael Winslow. Ooh, yeah. I'm good.
So now I'm wondering what Family Matters. Like what his name was.
I don't know.
I think it was.
But yeah, Zach McCann and Zach Reno. Jess McCann and Zach Reno were on the show, and they're my two favorite. I really love them from their podcast Off Book.
Carl Winslow.
Carl Winslow. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And so they were on an episode where they did what they do, improv musicals, and it was a amazing episode, and I loved it. So I can't wait. I would love to talk more about that, but Austin, that's not what we're doing today. It's the season for the green. It's the Christmas specials. We're doing two today, so we're going to need time to talk. They were a little short. They're only like 45 minutes each. But Austin, the first one we're going to do is Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. Austin, first off, what'd you think about it?
So I was not expecting that to be that good, but I will say this, I enjoyed it tremendously. I actually thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought the storyline was great, and there is some things that are canon in that story now, so you know, I really think it was a good tie-in for the Guardians of the Galaxy, and I think it did it justice. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. What did you think of it?
Okay, so I didn't expect the story to be as cohesive as it was. Cohesive, I guess, would be the term. I didn't think that they would make the whole show essentially about Drax and Mantis kidnapping Kevin Bacon. Not what I was expecting whenever I was watching the show. I also didn't expect like the lore drop in the, because obviously you're watching this, you are like, you should have seen it, hopefully, and this isn't a spoiler for anyone. If it is, what are you doing? But it turns out that Mantis is half brothers to
Quaid or
Quaid, yeah,
yeah, Quaid. Yeah, Quaid or whatever, Quinn.
Quill. And
yeah, Quill.
That's something that I don't know, because I don't know any like book trivia or whatnot, and I don't know if that was a thing in the comic books prior to that, so that was an interesting information. It also felt weird to me that she never said anything to him, but it also makes more sense that she kind of like connected with the Guardians now, because she identified him as his half-brother to this degree. It makes me want to rewatch the Guardians 2 movie, so that way I can watch her interactions to see if she realizes certain things. It also makes me not like Ego more, because he had a child, like his half child there, but he was like, oh, don't care about her, only care about you, Quill. Yep.
Peter, like, Quill.
That's messed up, man.
Yep.
But yeah, there was a lot of good scenes in this show. I thought it was going to be all a bunch of like short little Christmas like gifts and gags. That's what I actually thought it was, and I was kind of like ready to cringe when they started doing the song about Christmas in the very beginning, with the people was like, we just picked up these guitars and we learned the songs, or we want to play it for you, and then they go right into like a rock thing. I'm like, this is what it's going to be. It's going to be this, then it's going to cut to Rocket and someone else, and they're going to be discussing Christmas, and they're going to show them the true meaning of Christmas, and then they're going to change, and then it's going to cut to another team member. And I thought that's how I've never seen the Star Wars holiday special, but that's basically what it was just clipping of like different things of like stupid crap.
Yeah, it was.
That's what I thought this was going to be in the beginning. And, you know, give points where points are due. That song was actually kind of catchy. Once it got going, I thought at first it was going to be like a soup song. And then, like, it got really dark at different points. not even, like, dark. Just, like messed up comedy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I thought this was for kids. I don't think a parent would want their kid to hear, like, them talk about Santa Claus killing someone or what they did. A part of their song was something like
Santa's breaking and entering and stuff like that.
I have to look up the lyrics, but there's points in that song where I'm just like, they like curse in the middle of the song, and I'm like, I did not expect that in a holiday special. I figured that they would remove all cursing, so that way little kids like the age of 5 or 6 could watch it and be like, yay, Santa, yay, Guardians of the Galaxy. But they're just like, hey, yeah, no, kick him in the nuts. And then Drax, like, basically, they kind of retcon it, but he basically kills people to kidnap Kevin Bacon. And even though they don't want to admit that. And the horrific repercussion of Mantis. She's horrible. She's like, she's on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. They're mildly drunk, which was another thing I didn't expect them to show. Like, they straight up get like blasted, wasted, and she's talking to a Star Maps person, and the dude, she's like, $40, and you get it. And she's like, I don't got no more money. And she touches her, and she says, give this to me for free. I'm like, oh, great. She stole from her. He's like, and all your money. I was like, oh, she straight up robbed the girl.
Yeah, she straight up robbed her.
No, like, repercussion for that action. She just robs the girl, takes all of her money. She was probably saving up money for the holiday. She was going to go home and spend that money on her children, who she had to take up that second job to do. Like, that's all Mantis. Like, she's a horrible person now. What the heck happened?
Yeah, it was weird that Ricky wasn't there, but, you know.
Yeah, no. The fact that he wasn't there and there was no Chris Tucker around to yell at him. I got really upset, because I'm like, that's a missed opportunity. They could have connected the universes of the two greatest franchises in the world, Marvel and Rush Hour, which I have rewatched both of them since I saw they were on Netflix. But yeah, it was crazy, man. It was crazy.
You didn't watch the third one?
No, not yet. I haven't watched the third one yet. I watched the two, because those were the two I remember watching all the time as kids. The third one came out, and I don't think we had it on DVD player at the time.
I did, but the first one that I owned We were actually older at that time. It was like high school era when that came out. But at that time, I wasn't living with you.
Oh, okay.
I was actually living somewhere else, so like we didn't really get to watch it. But I'm going to read just a couple lines from this Christmas song.
Oh, yeah, the Christmas song.
So, Santa is a furry freak with epic superpowers. He flies to every human's home in under 14 hours. He's a master burglar, a pro at picking locks. If you don't leave milk and cookies out, he will sure put dung in your socks. And then it goes on. If you act through the night and you don't jump on your bed, Santa comes with sugar plums and hurls them at your head. But if you're on his naughty list, he shoots missiles at your toes. He might just roast your chestnuts with his powerful flamethrower. So some people want to hear those links. Yeah, the song is called I Don't Know What Christmas Is. So, yeah. But Christmas is here.
It was a weird little get together, and it was enjoyable. Like, I enjoyed watching it. I'll be honest, I'm not sure if I will rewatch it, because I got the thing. It would definitely be, it's in the realm of, if someone says they haven't seen it yet, I'll be like, heck yeah, let's watch it. But it's not something that I will actively watch.
I think it will be on my Christmas like watch list. Like, it'll be one of those movies during Christmas that I'll watch, because it's a 45-minute film. Like, there's like certain Christmas films or Christmas shows that I watch that are short. Like, Mickey's Christmas Carol is like 30 minutes. Oh. And it's just the story of, you know, Charles Dickinson's Christmas Carol. But it's like Disney oriented. And this is one of those, those little shorts that they have, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty and all them. So like it will be put in that category for me, because I really thoroughly enjoyed this. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of fun with it, like a lot of fun. I didn't expect it to be that good though. Like, I was with you. Like, I was like, yeah, they're going to just do a bunch of like cheesy stuff to be like, this is what Christmas really means. And it turns out that, you know, Quill likes Kevin Bacon and he thinks he's cool, but then you come to find out Kevin Bacon is like under that trance. And like Peter Quill is like, you have to stop this. Yeah, like, this, I don't want okay. that. This is not okay.
You kidnapped him.
Yeah. Which is like, you know, consequences, like that, the consequences that are finally happening to those two, where it's like, this is not right. But what makes it a really good movie, I think, is when Kevin Bacon realizes that like there's this person out there. And this always gets me on TikTok and other things, when like people that are celebrities see their fans like grip on them, or they really care about them.
Mm-hmm.
And they go that step forward. Now, this is a fictional thing. There is realistic things. Like, I just watched a video on TikTok of the wrestler Kane, where he was at some type of concert, and this girl came up to him and was like, hey, you just saw my son like a month ago. Mm-hmm. And you had a picture with him. And she shows this picture, and it's a picture of her son in a hospital bed. And he was, he's one of the kids that was suffering from, like, I think some type of cancer. Okay. And he visited that hospital. And she goes, he was so happy when you came. You're like his favorite wrestlers and stuff. And she goes, this was the last picture I took of him. And I was like, oh, man. But Kane, the guy that plays Kane, mm-hmm. describing that, like, he's like, it's so wonderful, even though it's sad, that I have that kind of power that helps someone. And he's like, that's what I live for. It's not just being this big star. He's like, these are the things that I care about the most now. And a lot of actors do that, where they've realized, like, hey, you know, the potential of making money, yeah, is there. But like, being a fan base. And Kevin Bacon's always been that person. I follow him on TikTok, actually. So he does a lot of TikToks. He actually just, he started a movie like a long time ago. One of his first movies called Quicksilver, and it was about a bicyclist. And he found out that like it was a low budget movie. A lot of people don't know he was in that movie. So he actually went on a hunt to see if he could find a poster of it, like from the original theatrical release, and he found it at a bike shop, and he signed it for the bike owner for free. He was like, hey, you know, I'll just sign it for you. You know, it's a great thing to see, like, someone keeping that around. You know, it makes me feel good that, like, where I came from and where I am now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's it, you know. And, you know, talking about, you know, those kind of people that do stuff like that, which I will actually bring up another story of another celebrity when we talk about the other thing we're going to talk about tonight, because, like, that brought up one of the things I know about that celebrity. But yeah, this movie felt wholesome. Like, it didn't have to, like, oh, you know, because, like, some Christmas movies, you can get to a point where you're just like, this is a repeat of the same Christmas spirit movie. And Hallmark is terrible at that, and Lifetime is terrible at that, where it's like, you have to find the Christmas experience, you know, spirit.
I'm a stuck up businesswoman who goes back, and I get left this home that I don't want to be in, and I have to take care of this house with my three kids, which I'm single because their dad left us. I don't believe in Christmas. Oh, what this? A hot, attractive male from the local town come to show me that Christmas is not so bad and that I need to look to the light. Meanwhile, there's this strange old lady who has this near angelical feeling towards her. Christmas is real. Holidays are real. Like,
it's off. It's cringe. It's cringe. And, like, you know, it's been repeated. It's recycled so much.
Yeah.
So this was kind of fresh. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I didn't expect too much out of it. But I was glad I watched it. Like, I'm really happy that I actually listened to Travis. Actually, Travis is not a Christmas person whatsoever, because he works in retail and he knows how people act during retail, and he just, like, during Christmas time, he hates it, and constantly they're playing Christmas carols and Kroger's so he doesn't want to be like, oh my gosh, it's that time of month. But he watched it and he was like, you need to watch it. That's coming from me. And this is a guy that I've heard say bah humbug and, like, you know, stuff like that to me. And he's like, no, Christmas. Yeah, like, he hates it because of retail.
Yeah.
But he was like, this is solid. You should watch this. And so I took the dive, and I'm lucky I did, because this was really good. And I think what ties it together is just the two big endings of this movie was really good, because it starts off, like, it was weird. Like, because when I first started watching it, I was like, is this going to be an animated movie? Because, like, it did, like, an animation of, like, Yondu, like,
that's what made me thought it was going to be like scene, like,
yeah,
like each thing was going to be them telling a Christmas story, you know, mitigate how much they actually have to pay the actors and just make them voice act. That's what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
I mean, but they possibly could have done that for the person who played Yondu, like, for sure. But
Michael Rucker, but like, the, you know, like, him saying, I don't believe in Christmas, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, you find out that, like, Yondu actually cares for Peter. And he's, and then that's a part of the lore, too, is we find out where he gets his blasters. And it's from him on Christmas. Yeah. And then the little bobby head that he has in Guardians of the Galaxy, we find out that that's given him by Peter.
Yep.
So, and then Mantis, of course, being, like, his half-sister,
yeah,
really tied it together, because, like, she didn't want him to know that she was, like, his sister, because she didn't, how Ego treated them treated her. And, like, him turning around to the camera and saying, that's the best Christmas gift you could ever give me, was, like, that's having what it sister. Means.
Yeah,
like, that's great. Like, you know, finding someone that, like, you didn't know, like, you were alone in this world. He has no family except for, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy. He has no true family. Mm-hmm. And then finding out that you have family.
And they're part of your little team that you've been around with.
Dude, like, that's awesome.
That's just icing on
the cake. That's awesome. I liked it. So I thought it was really well done. It brought a tear to my eye, you know, of course, you know, because I'm a crier sometimes.
Yeah, I will also say that the ending with Yondu, just like family based things like that, always kind of make me tear up a little bit, especially whenever it's, like, done with that. Yeah.
Well, I think the reason why that triggers me is because I think of us. Like, I think of, like, just the time that I have with my family, mm-hmm. and, like, the friendship I have with you, where it's not just, like, you know, like, it you know, it's there. Like, it's important to me. So, like, when I see that, I see us. Mm-hmm. And I see, like, how we feel. And that's why I really enjoyed this.
Yeah. I'm also a sympathetic crier. So, like, during that scene, my brain's like...
You're like, ugh.
He's crying. Like, he's crying. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm crying. This sucks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I found that, like, this is a side tangent. But I found that out today because there's an episode of Game Changer called Don't Cry. And it's all about them trying to make one of the contestants cry. And she starts falling apart midway through because she realizes that the episode's only about her. And she starts crying because it's all these people saying great things about her. And I just started bawling. I'm like, this sucks. Like, this means nothing to me. It's just sympathetic. Man. Crying.
So, like,
yeah.
Did I ever tell you about my experience in college?
Well, you with, never went to college, Austin.
Well, yeah, I'm in college right now.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you didn't.
Yeah, so here's a funny story. I was side tangent a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was in English. No, it wasn't English. It was like English comp too.
Okay.
And our professor is actually a guy that I graduated from high school with. His name's Justice McGregor. He's like one of my favorite people ever because he plays D&D and like all that. And me and him got well. Mm-hmm. So when he found out I was in his class, he was like, "Oh my gosh, you have to take comp too." So like, I can be your teacher. I was like, yeah, I'll do it too. So he did. And he picked a subject where we all had to watch a commercial and write a paper about this commercial and like why it drives you to buy something. Mm-hmm. So back when I was watching the React channel a lot, I forget what those brothers' name were. I forget.
The Fine Brothers.
Yeah. There was a commercial that came on that made me go into tears so bad. So I chose that commercial, and during the Zoom class, they were like, does anyone want to share the commercial with us that you are writing about? So I shared this commercial, and the commercial is called Daddy Lies. And it's about these two Korean people. One's a daughter, like a little baby, like 3-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. And the other one's a dad. And the dad starts reading a paper that his little daughter wrote him. And he's like, my daddy, I love him. He's my hero. He's my Superman. But daddy lies. And then like, and then you're like, whoa, that just abruptly changed. And then she goes into like how her dad is trying to provide for her. And he takes any job he can. He's like, he lies because he loves me. And like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, you know, it's like, it was so funny because right when that commercial ended, it was for like a, what was it? Like a phone company from Korea. And I think it was Bell actually. And what happened was silence happened. Then I just hear people click their mics and they're like, that's not fair. Like, and it was so funny. And Joseph's like, that was a very powerful commercial. And I was like, yeah, that's what I thought when I first watched it. And the one girl's like holding her baby, like while it's sleeping. She's like, I'm trying to wipe tears. Like, but I can't cause I can't have my baby. So yeah, it was interesting, but yeah, like those things like make me cry. And I watch those, like, you know, try not to cry things like when the React channel did it a lot, because I believe I'm a huge believer in like, you should cry sometimes, not when you just need to. And I think it releases like, you know, some of the, like the things that you've built up. And I think crying's like a good staple for that. So like, I'm always there for like those sappy endings sometimes. Some people are like, oh, I mean, that's too sappy. And I'm like, no, that's real. Like, people love each other. Like, I like the whole Mantis thing and it made me like tear up. I was like, it's a good combo. Like, I really enjoyed that you tied in the lore that she's now, Peter knows that she's his sister. Mm-hmm. And it made it emotional because these two people that didn't think they had any more family in this world have each other.
Yeah.
And I loved it. So yeah.
Yep.
Apology on the whole thing, but yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It makes me cry. Austin, we need to change gears now.
Yeah.
And talk about another show that made me cry, but a different type of cry. Austin, it's time that we talk about the other Christmas special for today's episode.
Those orphans need their presents.
Santa. The Murderville murder mystery. The reason why we're doing this, one, it is a Christmas special. But two, we did this series on the show. I loved it. Mm-hmm. Wasn't sure if it was going to come back because I didn't hear a lot of people talking about it or anything of that sort. Mm-hmm. But they did a Christmas special, Austin.
Yeah.
For it. And first off, Austin, I want to ask, what'd you think of it?
So when we first did like season one of this show, there was a lot of things I had a problem with. This show was great. I liked the concept. There was a lot of things that it suffered from. And it was like trying to promote laughs, but it was like making them be directed towards those laughs. Like there's like that episode with the pancakes and he's in like this tunnel and then he goes in and he tells her to tell him everything instead of them trying to come up with stuff on the fly. Mm-hmm. And I was really like, they're trying to push for laughs, but Will Arnett is like the person that's saying the stuff. And it's just not, you know, there was a couple episodes in the show that were great. And then there was some that were not great. Like the Sharon Stone episode, I did not enjoy it whatsoever.
Oh, I really, I remember loving that episode. I thought really? I said something about, I love that. Like that was the one episode where I'm like, I didn't know who this person was, but I enjoyed it.
Or the Conan O'Brien one, even though I love Conan O'Brien, I did not like that one. Yeah. So, but yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say, yeah, I didn't like the show, but this was this way or something like that. But you seem to stop right there.
Sorry.
No.
Wife things, like she's trying to figure out that she didn't get seen on camera. I was like, no, it's blurred in the back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she just wanted to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So Austin, what'd you think of the Christmas special?
Oh, so the Christmas special. So, yeah, sorry guys.
You were talking about the show and never talked about the Christmas.
So I think the Christmas special is probably one of my favorite episodes of Murderville. Because they fixed a lot of things that I had problems with in season one. And they did suffer a little bit with some things that they just kept doing. So, you know, I was like, this is actually fun. And it made me burst out laughing, which season one only did that like one time, and that was with Kamel. And I think that they did really well, and they threw in like some stuff that you didn't expect to be thrown in, and it made it hilarious. Mm-hmm. So yeah, overall, I think the Christmas special is better than any of the other episodes on the first season. So what did you think of the Christmas special?
I enjoy this type of humor. I enjoy this type of comedy. I like improv a lot, and it was a really good episode and special because of the people they got for it. They got both, I can't remember the I don't know their names, but I know.
So it was Jason Bateman, yeah. Maya Rudolph.
I know her from SNL, and I've seen her in like other movies.
One of her biggest movies was Bridesmaids.
Yeah, that's the big Melissa thing a lot of people remember.
Yeah,
and they like went into it, like they did the improv, they joked, they had fun, and they made the show, like they made it great. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this to Mom Burkhart when we all watched it on stream that night. Because afterwards I'm like, who you think it is? Then she told me who she thought it was. And she's like, did you get it? I'm like, yes, I did. I got on the first go. Because the one thing about the show, and like the show does this thing where they'll introduce detail that's very minor and try passing it off as like passive, like what's that term? Like passive banter. And one of the things they pass off is like, oh, the name tag, you know, all of ours is smudged. Dude can't even write his own name. Dude can't write name tags. Amateurs here. And then in the show, the dude says, I'm Jim. And he points to it and it's perfectly good. And I was like, he's the killer. And you're like, that's the obvious killer that they're going to set up, or it's going to be a red herring. Mm-hmm. And then everything else goes through and I'm like, yeah, no, he's definitely the killer. And so it was pretty easy from the get-go, I thought, to figure out who it was. I just enjoyed some of the like twists that they did along the way. Not even like twists of who did it, but more of like comedy twists. Like when they have to do the whole Santa's dead, so we have to puppet him for the children. He's like, oh, look at me, I'm dead. And he's like, get over here. He's like, what do you want? He's like, I want to have a mommy and daddy. He's like, oh, fudge, I can't help you with that. And it's just like
sorry.
Sorry, I can't, like, I'm sorry about that. Like, what do you want from me? And then, like, when they go up to the VIP section, she's just constantly knowing, like, I don't understand why there's a VIP section up in the Capitol building. Like, that seems like the opposite of what should be up here. And I just, yeah, it was really fun and enjoyable. But I think, Austin, what put the, like, bow on the end of this show, and I think you'll agree with me, is the hidden special guest that appears at the very end. And that's Pete Davidson. Yeah. Is the last person, only for the end. Like, he doesn't even get to be part of any investigation. He's just thrown in the end with a gift and it's like, who you think it is? And I could not contain my laughter after he shows up. Because, one, people who break during comedy makes me laugh more. Oh, yeah. I love it when people break. And that side tangent, on the Dropout channel, Dropout TV, you know, check it out if you haven't seen it or anything. There's a series, you can also see some of them on YouTube, called Breaking News. And the whole thing is that the people on the news don't know what they're saying. They're reading it off a teleprompter. And it's a game show between all the hosts to read what they have to say and not break. Every time they laugh or react, they take points. That show is absolutely amazing because I love watching people break when they say or do something funny and they don't realize it's coming. That's all that this was at the very end. From the one dude saying that it was the mayor, from the woman saying it was the mayor and her being like flabbergasted that she even did this. And then the one guy, who did he give it to?
He gave it to Rick Saddle.
No, that was Pete Davis.
Oh, Pete Davis, gave
it to him. Who did he give it to? Oh, he put it on Santa and said it was a suicide. Yeah,
it was a suicide.
And the guy started laughing. He's like, there was no implication that this could be suicide. He got stabbed in the back. And then Pete Davis is just like, I think it was her, but, you know, just to be a D. And he just hands it
to the mayor. And she's like, what the heck?
Oh, my gosh. Like, yeah. I was bawling laughing the first time I watched that.
I think what got me was the whole bomb thing.
Oh, like, I was just about to get there because, like, after the dude comes out and admits everything, she's like, you need to bomb, it'll blow you away. And they, like, reveal the, oh gosh, it's a bomb. And man, I can't even think of his name right now.
Pete Davis,
thank you. I was thinking like Keith David, but Pete, second he sees the bomb and everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's the bomb, we don't have time, he just walks up, grabs all the cords and yanks. And you see everyone react like, oh.
I didn't laughing. Expect Pete Davis.
And then
to
it
do
just
it.
Cuts to it back to being together. And they give him scissors. He's like, you gotta cut the one.
Oh man.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was a very interesting take. I will say this. I did get it on the first try too, but I guessed. But I did get the second part right. I didn't put two and two together for the first part. So like the girl that was like screaming all the time, she was like anxious and stuff. Yeah. I knew it was her. I was like, yeah, she's part of this some way, but I was like, but they only are acting these three killers. So I was like, oh, well then it's probably Jim. I was like, because the name tag thing's the only thing that I see, but like everyone's talking about butter. And then they were like, putter. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
You know what's funny? When I watched that, I thought he said putter. And I was like, putter? And they all just started saying butter. I'm like, he says butter really weird. Like, I legitimately said that out loud. I was like, he says butter really weird. Who says butter? Like that. And like I was telling Mom Burkhart when we watched it, like I caught the name and like the whole like changing thing. The one thing I didn't catch was his love of mint with the peppermint snobs.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, I didn't think about that. When I hear peppermint snobs, my brain instantly stops paying attention to what I'm watching and I think of Little Nicky.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thanks, Otto Hightower. Like, that's fantastic. Yeah, I love Otto like Hightower. Peppermint snobs. And the rest of the show, like, I knew the one girl said that like she liked peppermint, so I was like, okay, that's something that could lead her to it. And then the other one didn't like the Sprite drink, so I was like, oh, okay, that...
Oh, the mint julep, yeah.
That had peppermint in it, and she complained about it. So I'm like, okay, she's obviously not the one, but she also doesn't have a name tag, but she also wasn't at the event. Yeah. So the whole red herring name tag thing I felt was too important not to include, but the one girl had someone else's name tag, but it was smudged. And I was like, oh, I'm going to say it's Jim because that's where I'm leaning on. And then whenever they explain the whole pyre thing, I'm like, okay, it makes sense. It all makes sense. Though, let's be honest here, the killer, the person who died, Santa, should have been X from the investigation. And the reason why is because he got stabbed in the back and the
Sean
lights
Hayes.
Were off. Yeah.
I was so excited that it was Sean Hayes.
He would not have known who stabbed him. Because he got stabbed in the back in the middle of the dark. Ain't no one able to turn and look to see who stabbed them in the back in pitch
black. Well, he wasn't stabbed in the back. He was stabbed in the front.
No, he
was stabbed in the front.
Was he stabbed in the front? Okay.
Yeah, because they exposed the candy cane. That's how they find out that the candy cane, because he's laying on the floor.
Yeah, you're right.
When they go to do the CPR, I lost it because he was breaking character and Sean Hayes was trying so hard. That he's like, and he's like, oh, he died again.
That personally is why I think the show was missing.
Yeah.
Is the actors who were playing, like, they should only have like 3 to 4 people on set who know the script. Yeah. And then the other people will just get told like their basic instruction, like, hey, you're going to be the one who dies. So you have to act like you're dead and portray and everything. And then if like people have to do stuff, don't fill them in. Cause he definitely didn't know that they was going to say like CPR, man. Cause the second he did, he clenched. He was like, ooh,
oh no. Oh, and Jason made me give him CPR.
That was fantastic. Oh, it made me laugh. And
it's like that natural humor was missing. Like it was just like this natural humor that should have just like evolved by the silliness. That's what I like. You know, it's like that's why I like the shows like improv. So let those improv natural things happen.
Yeah.
And that was a perfect reason. The Pete Davis pulling all the wires was a hilarious scene because it was natural.
I instantly, the funny thing is rewatching it the second time, the second Pete Davis walks in, the woman, I forget her name, something Rudolph. I know her last name.
Yeah. Maya Rudolph.
The second she saw him, she's like, oh, heck no, we're screwed. And he's like, I don't know if you know Pete. And she's like, oh, I know him. Because they worked on SNL together and he constantly broke all the time. There is compilations I will watch just for fun of Pete Davis and Bill Hader breaking on over like funny things. I think of the one diner lobster show on SNL, where it's a musical and Pete Davis on it, and he can't, the whole thing is he's just laughing because he can't contain it.
Well, see, that's like, you know, like going forward with this, I actually think that there should be like a big celebrity that should be on the show because I think he breaks character a lot and I think he would do really well.
Yeah.
But it's Jimmy Fallon. Because Jimmy Fallon, like when he was on SNL, he broke so many times, but he has like that natural humor thing to him. So
the one thing, the only reason why I wouldn't be okay with Jimmy Fallon, this is my honest bias opinion. I enjoy Jimmy Fallon's show, but sometimes I feel like he breaks too easily to where I just feel like he laughs in reaction versus laughing because something is funny.
Yeah,
he just laughs too easily. Pete Davis will like actually hold it and you can see him like fighting it, but it doesn't work and that makes it funny to me. I think what this special did that the show didn't do that made it so good is the double factor.
Yeah.
I liked having two people who didn't know what was going on.
Yeah,
because they bounced off of each other because
they played each other's very well. Like they had to be like, oh, this is it, this is this, and then like that. And I think how they did it was perfect, where like one person knew everything,
The other one like, kind of enters in halfway,
yeah,
and has to rely on what the other person tells them, which is normally complete and utter nonsense.
Yeah, it's
to figure out. And then like the icing on the cake is whenever they get the third person to come in, and he's just like, They try to explain what happens and he's just like, what the heck did you, I have no context, why am I here? Like that's legitimately Pete Davis' whole opinion that whole time. He's just like, why am I here? I didn't see any of this. I just get to convict someone of murder. But I think that's what the show's missing. Like, it should be two people who don't know what is coming in. And I know that's a little harder because it causes them to pay double the actors for the thing. But I also think that that adds more, like, greatness. And I would give them, like, tell them, like, hey, man, have fun with it. Don't try to direct them as much. Direct them to do the objective for the scene, but do not, like, force them into certain stuff.
Yeah. So I want to bring this up because I brought up it before with the whole Kane thing. There was someone in Murderville that kind of does the same thing for Christmas. And that is Marshawn Lynch was in this episode too. He shows up for like a little snippet with a chainsaw. He comes in and scares him. It's like, it's Marshawn Lynch, one of my favorite detective trainees.
He says the best one. I think it's because he's the only one who actually got the killer right.
Yeah,
I could be wrong about that.
Oh, no, he was wrong.
He was wrong.
He was wrong, but he actually was the one that actually got a lot of the evidence right. He just had the wrong person. And like, he was like, oh, okay. So I think that's why they went to like a more stable thing.
It was great. Like, I enjoyed him. So I'm like, bring him back. They also like call out to the girl. The mayor is the girl from Space Force. Jeez, I couldn't think of her name.
Oh, yeah.
She was in Space Force. I saw her. I just went, I know her through halfway of the series. And then she came back in for the ending and she started like cracking a little bit during the end. And I was like, now I know what you're from. Yep. I like you.
But
that's great.
What I was bringing up with Marshawn Lynch is every Thanksgiving takes turkeys to families. Like at his hometown. And like there's like a famous NFL clip when he played for the Seattle Seahawks. Richard Sherman was a corner, like one of the best corners in the league. And he came up to me, he's like, hey man, what are you doing for Christmas? He's like, oh, I'm going back to my neighborhood and like handing out turkeys. And he was like, what? And he's like, you want to go? And he was like, yeah, totally. Yeah, like I want to do that. So Marshawn Lynch is one of those people that really care about his like fan base and like the community he's part of. But the question I want to ask you that I've been like, after I watched this, I want to ask you this because I never asked you. Mm-hmm. I don't think I asked you like after season one about this. What's a couple people, a couple actors or comedians that you would like to see on that show that you think will flourish on that show?
Oh, okay. Well, first off, I think they hit the right stride with the SNL people. I think SNL is a great place for them to grab, especially the newer SNL / mid era SNL, as well as like anyone who used to be on SNL. They know the assignment. They hear it. They can take it. They can do with it. I would love to see Bill Hader. Like Bill Hader would be a number one.
Oh yeah.
Spot on there just because, especially after Barry, his whole like concept, he would, I think, play into the role of the detective and then continue to like make a fool of it. I also would, I definitely would do Jimmy Yang. I think he would be fun and I would love it. I will say this so much and I get very upset with this. Pull from YouTube. TikTok, like pull the influencer, whoever, the comedy based ones, don't just like pull like freaking like, I don't know, Mr. Beast or something like that.
Yeah.
Like pull like Markiplier or Jacksepticeye, like these people who are like comedians of some sort who have some form of background. Like Markiplier and his friends have all done improv. They actually went on like an improv tour and they're actually pretty good with it. They know how to yes and like. Do that, you will get people to watch your show just because of them alone. Freaking PewDiePie did his what was that show on YouTube? Like Scare PewDiePie or something like that.
Yeah.
Where it was just like a show about PewDiePie being scared. That got millions of views just from his name alone.
Yeah.
Do that. Like get those people who will have fun. Make the episode something about like what they know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like it would be fantastic. It would be great. I would love that. And just, you know, there's just a gold mine of famous comedians, actors and everything. I would love to see on the show and they could do it. You just have to, you know, grab the people.
I think I can guarantee probably one comedian that will end up on the show. And that is Will Ferrell. I see Will Ferrell being on this show.
Yep.
I would like to see Paul Rudd. I think Paul Rudd would be really well done. I also would like to see, you know, there's just so, I think Jimmy Yang is a perfect example of just one of those people that's just funny. I think Middledish and Swartz would be funny, just those two together. Yeah. I think that would be perfect because they're great at improv. So why not just do that?
They definitely can work off of each other.
Or Wayne Brady would be a perfect one.
Oh, yeah, the Who's Line cast? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You kidding me?
So, like, I would be super excited. I just think that Will Ferrell will be on it because Will Ferrell and Will Arnett has done stuff together. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, and Will Ferrell as well.
You know two other actors they should get? Bob Odenkirk and David Cross.
I would so be up
those
for that.
Those two would make the thing. They should also get, and now, okay, so this is my thought process on this, right? And I know some people are kind of like, oh, whatever, they're just talking about random stuff now, and they'll leave or whatnot, and that's perfectly fine. But the Community movies be made, right?
Just get like them. Donald Glover.
Well, because that's the thing, like, I assume the reason why we got some of these people on this show. Like, especially for like Netflix.
Well, we already got Ken Jeong, so yeah, like he.
That's what I'm saying. There. Like, the whenever they like have these people on, I'm pretty sure that they went to them because it's like, hey, you are on Netflix set for today because you are doing your show. Would you mind coming and show like recording like maybe like 2-3 extra hours to be in our show, and you'll get royalties for it and whatnot? Because like that's why I think they got like Camille. Because Camille was in, what show was he in on Netflix? He was in like a couple Netflix show not long ago. Like I know he was in Being Puppy Cat. Like he voiced Being Puppy Cat, so he had to do voice lines for that at some point. They also had, I have to relook at the cast, but I just grab those people like freaking Joe McHale, like he would be hilarious on it. Mm-hmm. The whole cast Community would be fantastic to have on different things. I would love to see Shirley Bennett or Yvelta Nicole Brown on this show doing it, because I could see her having hilarious reactions to some of the craziness.
Oh yeah, completely.
But yeah, so those are
Jim Rash. I would love to see Jim Rash on here.
That would be the dream, man. That dude can do nothing that makes me laugh. He could just sit on camera staring at the camera and I would laugh. Yeah. I had, when they did the Darkest Timeline podcast, I had the episode of him, Joe McHale, and what's Chang's real name?
Ken Jeong.
Ken, Joe, and Jim all on the show just talking, and I had that saved on my MP3 player for months, and I would just sit there and re-listen to it just because I enjoyed his like style of storytelling and everything. Plus he has the best line in the DuckTales TV show, like hands down. I will say he has the best line that made me laugh so hard that I had to rewind it 3 times to rewatch it, because that guy is just amazing. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would like. This actually makes me have hope that Murderville will actually come back for season 2, because I didn't know that this was a thing. And then they released this, and I'm like, they must have done this episode for season 1, but then like they had to release the first season, and they're like, we'll just make this a whole special. And they did that. But hey, I enjoyed it. I hope season 2 comes back. I can't wait. I really want them to grab some more comedians. I think they can easily do it. And the style of comedy makes me laugh. You know who else I would love them to add? And this is a little bit more of a stretch, and it would be a little harder for them to get. Freaking Stephen Fry. I love Stephen Fry. That man. That there's like a TV show in Britain where they like will ask something, and then you'll probably see on TikTok. It's like 5 comedians all around, and they'll ask something, and then they have to chime in and say what it is, and then give an explanation about the stuff. And in one of the episodes, Stephen Fry is like the host, and he talked for like 3 to 4 minutes about some mundane fact. And I just sat there and watched it 2 times because I was like, this man is amazing. Like, I love this man.
Oh, man.
He's why I wish I could be in my life, but I'll never be.
Actually, what's really funny is skipping on Jim Rash. Mm-hmm. Jim Rash came in my head when we were talking about Wednesday because of Luis Grossman being in that movie. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite scenes in The Community is when he's trying to look up, "I loved you in IMDb." IMDb, you know, and I was like, oh my gosh, I just thought of Jim Rash because that guy's great. I really enjoy that guy, and he deserves more. Like that guy is so good.
He won writing like Emmys or something like that. He wins things for his writing. Like, he is a great writer. So,
all right,
more power to him. All right, Austin, I think that basically covers it for today's episode of the Christmas specials. I appreciate you coming, Austin. It was good to watch. We watched them on the show. I think watching these guys was a fun little time with you and our mom Burkhart together. Austin, next week we are watching Andor. A little late on the show, but it's because Christmas season and holiday season came up, and we're just like, we'll push it off and we'll do other things, get done and go on that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it escaped us, but now we're going to do that for next week. Austin, how many episodes is Andor?
I think it's like 8.
12 episodes.
Confirm. 12 episodes. Yeah. I knew it was something like up. It was not like the 6 episodes.
Yeah. So it'll be good. It's on Disney Plus. Check it out, watch it, and that's what we'll be covering for next week, which will, by that point, it will be a new year, new me, new life,
mm-hmm.
2023, and we'll be that much inch closer to our deaths. Yay. So anyways, thank you all so much for stopping by, and thank you all so much for tuning in.